Alleluia! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 133 responsively. How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
On the beard, on the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of Hermon flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from 1 John. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it, and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to you. We declare to you what we have seen and heard so that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Word of God, word of life.
Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Tomorrow is the 10th anniversary of the shootings at that high school in Columbine. And I was listening to this radio program yesterday talking, interviewing some people who were there. And there was one woman who spoke about the fact that 10 years later, she is still sleeping with the lights on in her house because she wants to make sure she can see what's going on at all times, if she would wake up in the night. They call that post-traumatic stress disorder. And that affects not only men and women who are coming back from the war, where we see it very commonly, but also in victims and witnesses of crimes and accidents and even illness. But truth be told, I think we all suffer from stress and fear. We all have worries and doubts that keep us from peace during the day and rob us from sleep in the night. We worry. We have stress. When will the economy make an upturn? What will happen if I lose my job? When will I find another one since I did lose my job? When will the lab reports come back from my last doctor's appointment? Will it be good news or will it be bad news? All the effort that we go through to reuse, recycle, and reduce, is that really making a difference in the environment? Does the way that we eat really keep us healthy and allow the poor of the world to eat? How can I really do anything to relieve the suffering of the world? There's a lot of things in our life, in our minds, that keep us riled up, anxious, fearful. But this is not something new. This emotion of fear and stress and worry is something that's been around, well, 2,000 years ago. Jesus' disciples were gathered in a room with the doors locked for fear. They were afraid. What were they afraid of? What caused them to cower behind those locked doors?
course, could be that business with hanging out with Jesus for 2 or 3 years. This Jesus that had just been arrested and tried and executed. Maybe the leaders would be coming after them next. That would be a good reason to be afraid. They might, those leaders might do them physical harm.
Or come up with some reason, blasphemy, sedition, something that would allow them to execute them as well. Keeping the doors locked seems like a very good idea. But even more than that, these disciples had abandoned their leader by allowing him to be crucified. Some of them had even claimed that they didn't know Jesus. And now he was dead. Surely, there was guilt and embarrassment. What do you do when you can't face what you've done? You could crawl into bed and pull the covers up over your head. You could drink or drug yourself into oblivion. Or you can lock the doors. You don't want to face anyone. And you don't want anyone to come face to face with you. But the good news that we just heard is that Jesus ignores the fears and the locked doors and walks right through them. Peace, he says to those disciples huddled in fear. Peace. If you forgive anyone, they are forgiven. Wow, Jesus hit the nail right on the head. He knew exactly what was wrong here. Jesus accepted them. He had forgiven their sin. And now he unlocks the doors of their minds and their hearts and sends them out to forgive others. He sent them out to remove the fear of physical hurt, the fear and spiritual guilt that imprisons people everywhere. He's sending them out to explain the true meaning of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. He's sending them out to live what Good Friday and Easter Sunday were really about, peace. And forgiveness are the key words for the disciples. As Jesus says to them, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Peace, forgiveness. Martin Luther was a real worrier. He worried mostly about the salvation of his own soul. He wondered and worried, will I ever find a merciful God? He worried if he was following the right path. He worried if God would hear his prayer. He worried if he would ever get over his depression. He worried if his doubts would ever go away. He was a good worrier. And it was through that worry and fear that he locked a door between himself and God. And John's gospel today, that good news that we just heard, tells us that that door between God and the worrier, between God and you and I, has been broken down. That door has been broken down for the disciples, for Martin Luther, for you and for me. The burden of worry is a burden. Whether it's a worry about physical hurt or pain, whether it's a worry about fear or rejection, whether it's a worry about guilt or shame, Jesus stands in front of us and says, peace. Peace. He lets us know that we are loved and accepted in spite of our worries, in spite of our doubts and our fears and our anxiety. He assures us that we are forgiven no matter what we have done,
Jesus assures us in that single word that we are forgiven. He assures us that we are graced and loved. He opens our hearts and assures us that we can live life unafraid. What does it mean to face the future with an open heart, with a future that has been cleansed of sin? What does it mean to face a future with an open heart and a look to tomorrow unafraid? It's in this openness to the future that is the power of the Easter message. No matter what we've done, we know that Jesus, who rises victorious over sin and sin's power, says to each one of us, peace. Nothing stands between you and God. There are no locked doors between your heart and God's grace and forgiveness. The burden of guilt is removed, and your heart is open and clean. Of course, that doesn't make our lives perfect. There are still pink slips for Christians. There is still a sinking economy for those who believe. Faithful people still have to plan funerals for loved ones. There is still illness and disease, addiction and depression in the bodies of our faithful friends and family. But the Easter message is these things are not the end. These things will not keep us behind locked doors because we are free in Jesus Christ. We know that he will shine for us with Easter glory, and that Easter promise of peace and forgiveness is there for each one of us. Knowing that we are assured of this destiny because of God's love for us, we have the confidence to reach out in forgiveness to others, to those who have wronged us. Give us the confidence to face the circumstances of our life unafraid. Peace, Jesus says. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Do you know someone? Do you know someone today who is alienated from you? Is there someone who needs to hear your word of peace, just as we heard that word of peace from Jesus? You know, that's what the sign of peace is all about in our liturgy. It's not at all a greeting of good morning, how are you, a sharing of what's up for the day. It's not just a friendly hello. The exchange of peace in the liturgy is to remind us that we are indeed offered peace, that we are indeed forgiven, that we are graced and loved. We need to hear the words of love and forgiveness before we come to the Lord's table. Maybe the person who needs to hear your word of peace isn't in this room this morning. And maybe the words of love and peace and forgiveness that you need to hear from someone, that person isn't here today. But because we are the body of Christ, we are all one. We stand in for one another. And we create that fellowship that we heard proclaimed in our lessons this morning. We hear the word of peace from our brothers and sisters in this room, and let it be the word of peace and forgiveness from those people who are not in this room, whom you need to hear that word. and who need to hear that word from you. We pray that the person who needs to hear your word of peace, your word of forgiveness, is in some other gathering today, is in some other place, and hearing the word of forgiveness from other members of the body of Christ who are standing in for you and me in that place. The door is open. The table is set. This room is filled with God's peace. So let us open our hearts to one another and know that Jesus is sending us out to tell what we have experienced here, to tell what happened in this room today. That ordinary bread and wine have become Christ himself. That water, the same water that flows out of our taps and laps upon our beaches, that water cleanses us from sin and marks us for all eternity. That this assembly, these ordinary folks who have come together and exchange a word of peace, bringing all of our doubts and our fears and our anxieties to the powerful sign of Jesus Christ risen and alive. So go out and tell what you have experienced here. Tell that Jesus has called you blessed because you believe without seeing, that you believe in spite of your fears, that you believe in spite of your depression and anxiety and worries about so many things, because you and I are forgiven and we live in God's most amazing peace and grace today and for always. Amen.